Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
President Biden today attended the White House Easter egg roll. However, due to inflation, the kids all had to share one egg. I'm gonna need that back, guys, too.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to comedian Jordan Klepper. But first, a closer look.
New text messages reveal that even more high-ranking Republicans than we initially knew were involved in Donald Trump's attempt to overturn the election, including his son, Don Jr. Also, Trump is still ranting about windmills, and conservatives are talking about tanning their testicles. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. With all of the major crises we currently face, war in Ukraine, COVID cases rising again, impending climate disaster, and a widening wealth gap with power concentrated in fewer and fewer corporate hands, you'd think Republicans would have moved on from their usual weird obsessions. But last week, Donald Trump did an interview on Fox News, and you'll never guess what he wanted to talk about.
Today, I saw a big story that they're millions and millions of dollars are being charged on windmills because they're killing eagles. They're killing the bald eagle and other birds. And we have these windmills all over the place, and the environmentalists pretend they love them, but they're really hurting our country.
It's funny how certain people want me to stop talking about Donald Trump, but Donald Trump won't stop talking about windmills. And in my defense, Donald Trump was president, and windmills are just windmills. It's also very unconvincing that he cares for the well-being of bird life, especially when he pronounces eagle like that with the emphasis on the first letter. Does he think it's like email? Sean, the other day I saw an eagle logging into his email, smoking an e-cigarette, and I'll tell you, it's destroying our country. Now, of course, it is unfair to just play a clip of Trump from an interview without also playing the question that prompted it. I'm sure his windmills are Freddy Krueger, but for birds answer makes more sense in context. Let's give it a listen.
Most economists now say this is going to turn into a full-blown recession and maybe worse. What do you see if he doesn't change course?
So, of course, it had nothing to do with windmills. What was I expecting? What possible question could have justified that answer? Sir, I'd like to get your thoughts on our treasured avian population and various threats to their survival, including new forms of energy dependent on wind. If possible, start with a big story you saw today, and should you mention eagles, do feel free to pronounce it weird.
Today, I saw a big story that they're millions and millions of dollars are being charged on windmills because they're killing eagles.
And you want Trump to comment on Biden changing course? Trump has never changed course in his life. That's why he's obsessed with windmills. He just goes around in circles and makes a giant sucking sound. But say what you will about the guy, he's always laser-focused on his grudges, whether it's windmills or the Democrats investigating him. Yesterday, Trump, devout Christian that he is, issued an Easter message that said in part, "Happy Easter to all, including the radical left maniacs who are doing everything possible to destroy our country. May they not succeed, but let them nevertheless be happy, healthy, wealthy, and well." Now, in fairness, he is quoting the Bible there. Who can forget when Jesus said unto his disciples, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, except, of course, for the meek birds whose heads I'm taking off with a windmill blade." Also, just a side note here, but Radical Left Maniacs is a great band name. I'm pretty sure I saw them at the Warped Tour in 1995. They were kind of like the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, or at least that's the impression that I got. And that was today's joke for ska fans. We just have to, I'm just saying, when we do it, like, just let's try to invite ska fans that day. You know what I mean? Like, let's send, when the email goes out for tickets, if it's gonna be ska joke day, like, let's just try to pack the house a little. Because I'm out here, you know, risking it. And I'm getting nothing back. And look, I look forward to ska day as much as anybody. But if we're not gonna do any, like, audience maintenance on ska day... And yet still, none of that was the pettiest or weirdest thing to happen in right-wing politics this week, because it was all outdone when Fox News host Tucker Carlson previewed a new episode for Fox's streaming service where he expressed concern that, among other things, testosterone levels among men were declining, and interviewed a guest who proposed an interesting solution.
If you want to optimize and take it to another level, expose yourself to red light therapy.
Yes.
And the Juve that we were using in the documentary. There's a massive amount
Which is testicle tanning.
It's testicle tanning, but it's also full body red light therapy, which has massive amount of benefits. And there's so much data out there that isn't being picked up on or covered.
So obviously half the viewers right now are like, what? That's testicle tanning? That's crazy. But my view is, okay, testosterone levels like crash and nobody says anything about it. That's crazy. So why is it crazy to seek solutions?
It's not. And clearly, Donald Trump has already tried it. I also like that Tucker says half of his viewers will think testicle tanning is crazy. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if you're tuning in to watch a Tucker Carlson special on Fox's streaming service titled The End of Men, you might be down to clown with just about anything. I would venture half his audience was saying, I have to try that, and the other half was saying, testicle tanning, tell me something I don't know. I expose my nuts to red light therapy every day. Sometimes I just drop them straight into the toaster and let them warm up for a few seconds. If you know, if you really want to be an alpha man, you just got to stick your entire junk in the microwave and put it on popcorn mode. That's just when you're advanced. It's so insane, even Kid Rock, who for some reason was a guest on this special, or whatever it was, couldn't wrap his head around it.
Dude, stop. Testicle tanning. Come on.
I mean, yeah.
I haven't heard anything
open,
that good in a long
your,
time.
Open I'm your starting, mind, Bobby. Don't you think at this point, when so many of the therapies, the paths they've told us to take, have turned out to be dead ends that have really hurt people, why wouldn't open-minded people seek new solutions?
I don't know what the hell is going on in this world. I'm not even sure if I understood that question.
When you've lost Kid Rock. The best part is they laugh about it like it's a joke, but then Tucker doubles down and says, no, seriously, why not consider it? Hell, why stop at red light therapy? Maybe in addition to light, your testicles need air, which we could generate using...
windmills.
And... also, even if there was some sort of massive global testosterone crisis, is it already time to resort to tanning your balls? Nothing is crazier than a conservative second idea. I don't trust vaccines, but I'll eat some horse paste. Are there ever solutions somewhere between plan A and the craziest you've ever heard? It's like if someone said there's a bird in the house and you said open a window and they said that didn't work. So then you immediately jump to, okay, in that case, dress like a bird and slowly perform a romantic courtship with the bird in your home. When you win its trust, invite them to a romantic evening outside in the moonlight, and then when they least expect it, boom, windmill, chop off of their head. The point is, these are the people leading the conservative movement in the Republican Party at a time when it is poised to retake power in the November midterms and possibly renominate Trump for president in 2024, even as we continue to learn more about his efforts to overturn the last election. For example, newly unearthed text messages reveal that yet another sitting senator, Utah's Mike Lee, was coordinating with the White House on ways to overturn the results, including pitching a plan to appoint alternate slates of electors from swing states. At one point in November 2020, he texted Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, "Please give me something to work with. I just need to know what I should be saying." And then, 2 days later, said again, "Please tell me what I should be saying." I'm not sure it's a good idea to go to Trump begging to know what you should be saying. Trump would make a terrible Cyrano de Bergerac. "Cyrano, tell me what to say to her. Tell her she's got a butt that won't quit and honkers to match." And Lee wasn't the only one in on it. There are also new secret text messages from Trump's son, Don Jr.
November 5th, 2020, 2 days after the 2020 election. Votes were still being counted. The final outcome still in doubt. But President Trump's son, Don Jr., was already passing on ideas for overturning the election, if necessary, to ensure a second term for his father. "It's very simple," Trump Jr. texted before outlining several options. "We have operational control. Total leverage." Trump Jr. was texting White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows.
I love when dummies like Don Jr. use phrases like total leverage and operational control. He sounds like the bad guy in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called Total Leverage, who gets thrown off a helicopter in the first 5 minutes. "We have operational control. Hold on. Someone's tapping me on the shoulder. Let me just turn around and, oh no, Jean-Claude!" And he had to text the chief of staff instead of going straight to his own dad. "We are in operational control. Now, do you have my father's email address? I would like to set up a father-son testicle tanning appointment." This is the state of the modern conservative movement as they aim to retake power. They're focused on windmills, testosterone levels, overturning elections. Just a word of advice. I'd be careful not to do too much testicle tanning, or you're going to end up with a nutsack that looks like a
bald eagle.
This has been A Closer Look.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, a very funny comedian you know from The Daily Show and The Opposition. He co-hosts the podcast Kasich and Klepper, and his new special, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, presents Jordan Klepper, Fingers the Globe, Hungary for Democracy, premieres April 21st on Comedy Central. Let's take a look.
Were Hungarian rallies anything like MAGA ones?
Do you have any Orban pictures? Specifically with him shirtless, riding a velociraptor?
Just the flags, that's basically a Hungarian reference.
Does that have any profanity on it whatsoever?
No, it's just a...
Just a straight
just
flag?
Just a straightforward flag.
Lock her up. I thought I heard lock her up.
Please welcome back to the show our friend Jordan Klepper, everybody.
Good, Seth. How are you, sir?
Good. I want to ask about the podcast and the special, but I also want to ask, you had a baby. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And maybe the most stressful time to have one right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes, exactly. And for the man, especially.
Yeah.
It's really difficult
for me. And tonight, you know, if we could take anything away from today, it's men's rights and...
Exactly. Let's talk about the male experience having a child during COVID. I'm so glad I get an opportunity.
Yeah.
No, it was incredibly stressful, and we were right in the heart of it, so we didn't know if I'd get to be in the delivery room or not. And we headed to the hospital, and we arrive up on right next to Central Park on the Upper East Side. And we go in there. Usually, the dad can hang out in the lobby.
Yep.
As they run the tests or what have you, go into triage, which is a very scary word. When they said she's going into triage, I'm like, oh my God, get the defibrillators.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's just a process. I'm like, okay, I get that.
You're like, they have been misusing it on TV.
This is, I have not been paying attention to ER, clearly. But they said, well, we don't have this space anymore, so she's going to go through there. You have to wait outside. There's no more common area. So they sent me across the street at midnight in New York. It was raining. And I sat along Central Park, and if I looked down there, every 30 feet, there was a man with a suitcase just waiting for their partner inside to go through all the hullabaloo. So it was a very, thank you. Again, what the men have been through.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, we actually called your wife. We wanted her to be on the show to tell her story, and you answered and said, mine's the story you want to hear.
Yeah. She's really busy. I think enough people listen to her side of things.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad it all worked out. So you have been, you do many things, but you've been going to a lot of Trump events.
Yeah.
And one of the things you do that I think has made these so enjoyable to watch is you very politely engage with Trump supporters and try to get to the bottom of how they came to whatever position it is they hold.
Yes.
When you go into it, what do you set out to do? Do you have a game plan in your head of how you want to approach it?
For sure. I mean, based on sort of what is happening, what is the news at the time, we sort of break down, here are the narratives about stories that are going on. They're talking about CRT. We're reading people talking about CRT. They're talking about school board meetings. They're stopping that. We'll go out with the narratives we hear at home. We'll prep for perhaps responses for those narratives. But when you arrive, you get surprised just like that. You know, like you can only hear so many conspiracy theories on television and then show up and hear somebody say, you know, the reason I keep 6 feet apart from someone is because 6 feet is the devil. So therefore, I won't be listening to this devil sort of spatial issues that the government wants to impose on me. And you're like, that wasn't in my New York Times this morning.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to drop everything. It's the improv rule of, like, prep and then let it all go and see what happens. And more often than not, it's just us pushing people to get to the point where they have to justify the issues they maybe haven't thought through.
Right. There is a core... I know you to be a very nice, very polite person in real life. You do bring that with you to these rallies. Now, obviously, you disagree with the people you're engaging with, but do you find it easy to maintain what strikes me as, like, a very... affable persona when you're talking to them?
As a nice guy, is it easy to be nice to these
Yeah.
These man, these I gotta tell you. Well, it's infuriating. I will say sometimes you want to shake folks. I try not to. Or babies. Folks are babies. Again, good dad. I've got a dad brain. I will say what I empathize with when I go to any of these rallies is it's... people want community, and I get that. Yes. People want community, and they need meaning. And when you go to a rally, what you find is like-minded people who have a purpose. And you walk into an arena, and you have the former leader of the free world say, you're a hero, you're a patriot, just do what I do. And so I get that. I joined an improv group. That gave me purpose in a community.
Right.
We all have our own cults. So I can empathize with why people are there, I think, but I get frustrated with the logic that's behind some of these ideas and the manipulation of the people who impose that logic onto these folks.
And you've obviously done quite a few of these now. They're incredibly popular. Millions of people have watched them. Are you recognizable now to some people within that community?
I am, yes. Yeah. I actually... what's odd, sometimes you get recognized and people want to engage. Sometimes you get recognized and people want to yell at you and chase you down. I went to CPAC recently, and I was shocked because I was prepared for people to recognize me and not want to engage and perhaps get fairly angry that I was crashing their party. But I was shocked at how many selfies I took at CPAC, which is the it's where conservatives go to get their marching orders for the next year. And what I quickly realized is I'm part of the narrative there. A little kid came up to me who said he was a little kid. He was, I think, 17. He said he was Trump's biggest fan. He showed me pictures of mannequins he had at home of Trump. He loved Trump. He watched all my videos. And I asked him, like, but you see what I do in these videos. Why are you a fan? He's like, I watch all Trump stuff. Good, bad, it's all part of this world. And even though I might be espousing some points of view that he doesn't agree with, I'm the heel in this WWE world. And, right. Like, he needs me.
Yeah.
And so he might be mildly aggressive towards me, but beyond that, he's more excited to actually get this close to the world.
Wow. Do you think maybe Jordan mannequins in his future?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. you do whatever you want with it, kids. If you got a mannequin of me at home, I'm not going to judge. Have fun.
I want to talk about your trip to Hungary. We'll be right back with more from Jordan Klepper. Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Jordan Klepper. So you went to Hungary.
Yes.
And Hungary has been turning up in the discourse here a bit more, certainly amongst conservatives. What is it? What is the draw of Hungary? Why do we see Tucker Carlson go there and speak from Hungary?
Well, that was the question we were trying to answer when we went there. I think, quite honestly, they have a leader, Viktor Orban, who has been called a more competent Trump. Mm-hmm. Steve Bannon called him Trump before Trump. And he sort of created this conservative wonderland over there. He's been in power for 12 years, something I think Trump would love to do. Mm-hmm. He's used wedge issues to get people on board. Right now, the LGBTQ issues are something he's codifying in the Constitution, taking away rights from that community. He's starting to equate homosexuality to pedophilia. He's creating sort of a scare over there that's getting people out to the polls. And what you start to see is, like, nationalism is starting to reign in Hungary. And I think conservatives in America look over there and they see somebody who has the power they want, is perhaps a smarter version of the man they had in charge, and is able to put people in power in that country so that it's much harder for them to get out of power. So it sort of looks like what I think conservatives might think America could look like in a few years.
And are there similarities between what you see there? It certainly seemed maybe a little bit more, in the clip, a little bit more polite, a little bit more controlled. But are there similarities with a MAGA rally?
Some, yes. I mean, I went to the merch table and sort of like, if you don't have a Second Amendment, what do you put on your T-shirts?
Yeah.
Calvin can't piss on CNN over here. So what is the political discourse, guys?
Yeah.
There's definite similarities. You know, the rhetoric, quite honestly, they go to Soros as a bad guy, mm-hmm. Who is from Hungary. And in fact, some of these tactics were stolen by America to make the boogeyman that Hungary already had. I was shocked at how many people referenced Joe Biden and specifically talked about Hunter Biden's laptop in Budapest. Like, I'm going over there talking about the war in Ukraine, which is literally next to Hungary, which I know geography. I've known where Hungary is for literally months now, and that's where it is. So they have a war next door, but still this obfuscation of reality and the focus on things like Hunter Biden's laptop, that's out there in the streets of Budapest, and people are ready to engage with me about it.
So you're doing a podcast right now,
yes,
with John Kasich. Mm-hmm. John Kasich, former governor of Ohio.
It's what the people asked for.
That's what they asked for. And he's been on this show, and I always thought, you know, you'd love Klepper.
You guys. Yeah. You guys got to do a thing together.
So how did this happen? Because this does not seem like a natural pairing.
You know, it's a governor meet cute that I think things got... things got weird during the pandemic.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
we were all looking for connection in strange ways. We all dabbled with our own governors. We know we went through this.
Yeah.
It's not weird. It's natural, you know?
It's
so
totally
you find
natural.
A governor in a mid-sized state, and you start to meet over Zoom. And some folks actually said, like, hey, Governor Kasich's looking to do a podcast and talk to somebody with a different point of view. I think you guys would hit it off. And I wasn't super into doing a political podcast. And as soon as we got on a Zoom together, I was shocked because we talked about Rage Against the Machine for most of the time.
Yeah.
He's a huge music fan. And literally, we talked music, we talked sports, we talked everything away from politics. So by the time we actually did get to some political issues, we actually liked each other, and we could kind of meet closer to empathy as opposed to just, like, fisticuffs over the economy. And we kind of thought, like, maybe this is sort of a unique way to approach these bipartisan conversations. Like, start with culture, start with things you love, and then get to politics in kind of an organic way.
So, I think that's great. And I'm always so excited when people from, you know, with differing political views talk. But, of course, Governor Kasich is an anti-Trump Republican. Mm-hmm. Does he feel like there's any future of the party for the lane that he currently lives in?
I mean, Governor Kasich often talks about feeling that the Republican Party left him. He didn't leave the Republican Party. And he's much more of an optimist than I am. When we talk about the future, I don't feel super great about it. I think, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I do think he is optimistic that there are a lot of moderates in this country who are looking for people to voice the concerns that they have. Actually, I don't disagree with him there. But when I go to places like CPAC, what I'm seeing is not... I don't see those voices being elevated.
Yeah.
I see the... I went to CPAC and I watched people like Marjorie Taylor Greene walk through there like Beyonce. And so she's got 10 people behind her with cameras taking pictures. And there's a lot of young conservatives who are looking for attention. And they see Boebert and they see MTG. And they're like, that's how you get attention nowadays. And so for me, I see the future of the Republican Party. The only lane seems to be on the farther right of Donald Trump. I think Governor Kasich might think it's somewhere else. But I don't see any evidence of it heading that way.
You were at the insurrection, January 6th. You went back. Are you
surprised.
As a member of The Daily Show. It's not like I left something inside the Capitol. My wallet was in here. It was in this lecture when I flipped it over.
You went back to try to put back a laptop you'd stolen before you got back?
Legally, I can't get too into it, but I did go back to D.C., yes.
Watching it, you know, I was watching it on TV. I can't imagine what it was like for you. Mm-hmm. You thought, like, oh, this changes everything, and I don't know if it has.
I don't think it has.
Yeah.
I think it did feel like a day that could change everything. I think we keep having those days of this is as far as we can go. We all have to get on the same page. There's a common enemy, and it's chaos. We could all rally around this flag on this day. And it felt like that lasted for an hour or so after the
insurrection. It was a nice hour.
It was a good hour.
Yeah, it was a good hour.
It was a real nice hour. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm shocked because I'm not. I think, like, The news cycle moves so quick, we don't have to have a memory of those things.
Yeah.
And when I go and talk to people, I went and talked to people months after the insurrection, and I was shocked how quick that narrative changed. And when I went back a year later, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're out there talking about other narratives that they want to push. And so sadly, I don't think we remember the important things from that day, and that could bite us in the ass.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for getting out. It's just fantastic. Every time I see that you've gone somewhere new, I get very excited to watch it. I really appreciate you making time. You guys, that's Jordan Klepper.
Thank you.
You can subscribe to Kasich and Klepper wherever you listen to podcasts. And Jordan Klepper, Fingers the Globe, Hungry for Democracy, premieres April 21st on Comedy Central.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.